I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, soul sister. Ain't that Mr. on the radio?
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. Bringing out the big guns today, the great Andy McCarthy at National Review and Fox News Channel. And Andy had been writing about Major League Baseball. He's a Mets fan. Let's go to him here on Talk Radio 1210. Let's straighten that out. Hey, Andy, welcome in.
Hey, Tom, we gave you your best pitcher. What more do you want here?
I'm not overwhelmed by Zach Wheeler. The guy to me can throw 97, but I don't see a lot of. Let me think. He's not a Curt Schilling. He's not anybody like that.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, he's kind of tapioca, you know what I mean?
We take him back in a heartbeat.
Okay. I hear you. But, you wrote a moving piece because of that you're exactly the type of guy that Major League Baseball, a dying sport, sadly, would not want to lose. And you wrote this at National Review. And yet, Andy, it appears now it was the sponsors that went to Manfred that apparently had to make this move. So tell me what you think should be done here then.
Well, look, I would never, I know myself well enough to say I'm not going to boycott baseball. I'm going to watch baseball, but I'm not going to spend money on it. And I imagine, there's a lot of people in my position feel the same way. I support all these efforts. I don't think they're going to go anywhere for the moment, but if the Republicans take over the Congress at some point, I think the antitrust exemption ought to be stripped away.
Yep.
And I think that, any special privileges that they get under the law ought to be lost. Although, we have to be realistic about this. A lot of why they're doing this, Dom, and I don't think Major League Baseball is unique in this, is they see the pot of gold in China. And, they're trying to make nice, obviously, with the Biden administration, which wants to make nice with China because they'd like to be able to do deals that will give them access to what they see as this enormous stream of revenue that they're going to get from streaming rights. So, I think what we can do on this end as far as making baseball pay for the kind of politicizing of our oasis from politics that it's doing may be minimal, but I don't think it's going to be just baseball. I actually think that there's going to be a pushback in a lot of America against these woke corporations that are, trying to push policy the way that they're currently pushing it, because they're intimidated by the incoming government and because they see a lot of possibilities for making a lot of money.
Look, that's another reason this is an issue, to make this an issue. Andy, too, that I put on my political hat here, it frees up Republicans, one of the great things here, not to be beholden to corporate America and maybe the way they were in the past. And Trump, one of the big upsides of the Trump years is it has freed up that to reach other voters who don't care about Mitch McConnell or anybody else talking about regulations and corporations when these corporations are throwing them under the bus. Now, since you wrote about this, and I think the point that you suggest, the Minnesota case, the George Floyd case, is A, the defense hasn't gotten their shot yet. I think, and you are the political, lawyer extraordinaire to me, you're right. What I've seen so far was very damaging, but the media seems to make it as if this case is over. And then if Chauvin doesn't get the highest possible penalty, the riots start, and the media is complicit, either because they're not competent or it's just agenda, in making America believe that he's already been convicted.
Yeah, I think that's right. I worry that the riots are going to happen one way or the other, Dom. I guess they'd be worse if he doesn't get convicted of murder. But I think a number of things have been settled. It's been a very interesting trial. It's a shame that you have this political, this really fraught overlay of politics, because it's actually an important issue. And it's a trial that ought to be allowed to play out and be decided by the jury on the merits without all this outside pressure. But I think that last week, the case really comes down to two things. It's causation and intent. And I don't think after last week that there's any real question that what the police did was a material cause of George Floyd dying. That doesn't mean that the police intended either to kill him or harm him. And that's what really the case, I think, is going to come down to. And as far as the case being over, there's two murder counts. And Dom, if you had asked me before the trial started, I would have said that they're depraved and different. The idea of Chauvin having depraved indifference, yes, to human life, I would have thought that was the really strong count, and that was the reason that they fought so hard to keep it in the case. I now think I don't want to say it's frivolous, but I don't see much chance of them convicting him on that. And I really think it's either going to be manslaughter or murder in the second degree, where they have to prove that he intended to commit a criminal assault. It's going to come down to whether the jury thinks that he had the intent to commit a criminal assault.
And I think that's a fairly high bar in this case.
Yeah, it is, and it should be. You know, if you're gonna, the outflow here, no matter what you think of where you come out on police reform, which I think is largely a lot of nonsense and a lot of progressive wish list. But no matter what you think of it, if you get police thinking that to do the things that police have to do in order to restrain people or arrest people, they themselves could be prosecuted for assault, you're going to have a very different kind of policing in this country, and you're going to have a lot more crime.
Absolutely. And Andy, people, I've even seen articles saying, oh, this is really stereotyping. Floyd looks to me as a guy who was very pleasant in that grocery store, but did resist arrest from the footage we've seen. And people have seen too much Hollywood. You get a pretty good and strong guy resisting arrest, it's not easy. You got to do a lot of stuff after a period of time. I don't know why they didn't tase him or whatever. That'll come up. But this is not a small guy. And even small people, police sometimes have trouble restraining them without using a lot of force.
Yeah, and that's what the case really has been about, Dom. The state wants the case to be about the 9.5 minutes when Floyd is on the ground, which, by the way, we learned in the evidence, he put himself in that position. It's not like the cops placed him there. But, in the minutes before that, he, being a big, powerful guy, even with himself handcuffed behind the back, fought off four police officers who are trained to deal with people who are resisting arrest. So, you can understand why the police thought that they needed to restrain him. And you can also, I've always said, the police have to have a right to be wrong as long as they're reasonable, because otherwise they're not going to do the things we need them to do. So what this case comes down to is, how wrong do you let them be? Because at a certain point, when a guy loses his pulse and he's obviously not breathing and they don't do anything to try to revive him, that's very problematic. And you can understand why people have a big problem with him.
Parting question. I know you got Fox coming up today. Andy McCarthy with us. Andy, the Supreme Court, the first wave toward it, was that just a deflection away from the border? Or is Biden, in your view, and the other forces convinced they're going to be able to pack the Supreme Court?
They're not convinced of that, Dom. I think, number one, he felt he had to do this because before the election he said he would do it, so he sort of had to. But secondly, the practical impact here is that they're trying to put pressure on the current Supreme Court. You know, the story we like to tell ourselves is that FDR's court packing plan failed back in the 30s. Well, it failed in the sense that he didn't get to pack the court, but it succeeded in intimidating the Supreme Court into changing its jurisprudence. And that's what I think they're trying to pull off here.
Hey, I might tell you at least a lengthy article, if not a book there, Andy, since you mentioned that. I know I would read that one. I think that is a great point. You're on Fox today. What time and talking about what?
I think we're going to talk about what you and I just talked about, which is the court packing theater, and that should be at about 10:30 this morning.
All right, Andy McCarthy. Thanks, Andy, very much. Great to have you back.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.